My name is Will, and this is my dad, Andrew Southam.
How do you do?
And I will be interviewing him and asking him a couple questions about his childhood, his life, and what it was like to raise me. Question number one, how was I like as a baby?
You were a very easy and happy baby. You were hardly ever sick. You were super happy. You woke up wildly happy to meet every day. You were always really, really comfortable with other kids and loved playing with other kids. You weren't really hard to get on a sleeping pattern. I think in the beginning, like all little babies, it took us a while to get that figured out, but that was as much your parents learning how to be parents as it was that you were being difficult. You were an easy and great baby.
And what happened when I was not?
Well, we had to kind of figure out by trial and error how to feed you, how to get you to sleep. Those are the first two big things that you got to learn with babies. I wasn't so great at getting food into you as your mom was, and we figured out after some time it was because I wasn't holding you right, so you weren't quite comfortable. There's some trial and error with learning babies. Most people that bring babies home from the hospital never had a baby before. You kind of learn as you go.
My second question is, what were the hardest moments you had to face while I was growing up?
Well, when you were very little, I think the hardest thing for most parents, certainly for us, was just sleep deprivation. You're just so tired. You've got this big new responsibility. You've gone from being two people with no kid to having a brand new baby in the house, and you're exhausted, and a lot of it was confusing and not that easy to learn. Your mom took to it very naturally and quickly. But, I learned a lot from her. So maybe part of it was like letting my ego go and allowing myself to be taught by your mom, who was the more natural parent.
And what if she was gone? Like if she was out of town for something?
That didn't happen right away. I do remember the first time I ever took you out all by myself. I was having lunch with a friend and I took you in a carrier in a restaurant. And I didn't take, I can't believe I did this, but I didn't take a bottle for you and I didn't take a diaper. So you got both hungry and wet and very unhappy in the course of lunch. I figured I'd only be there an hour and you were having a nap and you'd eaten just before you went down. So I figured you wouldn't need anything. But, I learned that you never do that with a baby. You never go out without diapers. You never go out without bottles.
My third question is, if you could go back in time, how would you raise me differently?
I think I'd just be calmer about a lot of things. I think it's stressful for me in the beginning, getting it right. You were eating and sleeping enough, that I was doing my job right. And what I would tell myself from the position of now, I'd say, don't worry, he's going to be fine. Love every moment of this because it goes incredibly quickly. And you don't really have a lot to worry about. Just enjoy it.
All right. Another one of my questions is something that you'll either be able to answer very quickly or very hard. What is one of my biggest flaws?
I guess, like a lot of kids your age and generation, just that you gravitate towards screens so quickly and for such lengthy amounts of time. I think what I'm learning about the culture as we look at high schools and I find out more about modern learning is that, kids just don't read books like they used to. So I'm having to accept that the book isn't a thing for kids like it used to be. I used to be able to curl up with a book for an hour and that was a great entertainment for me. But I'm learning that that's certainly for you and most of your friends. That's not how things are anymore. So that's not so much a flaw as just a change in the culture. I think you're a really good kid. I think you're really easy. Your mom and I say to each other almost every day how lucky we are to have you. I don't think you're a flawed person. I don't think you have flaws. I think you do all the stuff that any kid does that distresses their parents sometimes, misbehaves. I don't think you ever misbehave in a way that we can't talk about and figure out. And I know being an only child, you get bored, which I totally understand and sympathize with. So I'd say you're pretty flawless as far as we're concerned.
But when I did get in like big trouble, I remember something that happened in second grade.
Oh yeah, okay. There was some misbehavior. In second grade, you and a bunch of kids were throwing rocks over a fence. And I guess according to the teaching staff, you'd been told not to do that. And they landed on the hood of a car. I think
two cars. And they broke their
windows. Did some damage and they broke a windshield. Or two?
Two, yeah.
So, the parents of all the kids who were involved, how many kids were involved?
They're like four or five.
Four or five kids had to pay for the damage. So I think all of us parents agreed this was not the worst thing in the world. You were a bunch of kids on a playground who perhaps might have been supervised more closely by the people who were meant to be supervising them, throwing rocks over a fence. It was not, I don't think any of you fully realized that they were landing on cars, did you? I hope
no,
you didn't.
No, well, the thing is, there was a paper airplane in the train. We tried to hit it down.
You were trying to dislodge the plane.
Yeah, we were trying to hit the stick under it, and we didn't think that there was a parking lot.
Well, really, that makes you more innocent of the crime of smashing windows, because you weren't aiming to hit a car, you were aiming to hit a paper airplane. Yep. So, you know, perhaps you might have listened to the people that said, don't stand at that fence and throw rocks, but perhaps they might have gone over there and stopped you immediately and moved you along. I think the parents all felt we had to make a big issue out of that, or a speech, but I think finally we all decided you were good kids and this was not going to be the biggest deal, and it kind of sucks for all of us parents that we were going to have to pay for the damage.
All right, my final question is, what advice would you give me to raise my own kids?
I'd say know that it all goes only too quickly, and that though you may stress about how your kids are behaving or how they're doing in school or how they're doing in sport or how they're being with you as parents or how they're being with their friends, just know that finally your time with them as your child before they become teenagers as you are now, a 13-year-old, and then young adults, it's just happened so fast. So I would say love and enjoy your children in the moment, and don't stress too much about the bigger picture because it sort of takes care of itself. So that's how I'm trying to remind myself to live now, is just to enjoy you and love you and appreciate you and not get cross about the things that don't really matter that much.
What age do you think they should be exposed to video games? Because I know I was exposed like 7 or 9.
Well, I think probably what you first saw was pretty fundamental stuff. Fruit Ninja, what was the first one you ever played?
It was like Angry Birds.
Angry Birds. So yeah, I think that's the culture now. I think your kids are playing with their parents' phones and then their own phones. And I don't think it's necessarily a terrible thing. I just think everything in balance. Well, you have always been, since you were 5 years old, on a sports team. You've always had good friends. You've always had lots of play dates. You've always done every activity that the schools offer, if there's ever a field trip or anything. So I'm fine with the screen time. I'm relaxing my standards about it, as you've proven to me that you are a really good and serious student, and then you care a lot about doing well at school. So I'm just trying to stress less about it. I don't love walking by your bedroom and seeing you on a screen on a bright sunny day, but I realize that if your friends aren't around, you can't always just go to the park.
Because I don't have someone to play with.
Yeah. So I think as long as you're on a sports team, as long as you're doing well in school, as long as you have good friends, as long as you're not showing antisocial behavior, do you know what that means?
You don't like to be around other people?
Yeah, and you don't relate well to other people and you become violent. Some kids become violent or express violence because they're seeing a lot of violent video games. As long as I'm not seeing those symptoms.
I think you're good about that. I don't play that many violent games.
Yeah, I don't like shit games where anyone gets sort of shot and killed. Although I'm sure you pushed the envelope there with some of those things, but I've never seen any blood flow. So that's my position on that. Do you feel I've answered that question sufficiently well?
Yes, I do.
Well, this has been, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
All right, thank you.
Have I answered all your questions?
Yes.
Okay, cut.